Hey, America.
Start listening now. Ah, Sam. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Sam.
I'm back.
Yeah, nice of you to come back. We're going to be talking about Irish dominance today, which means I'm either having a very weird playthrough of Europa Universalis, or it's time to talk about Johnny Logan.
What?
It's going to be high energy. We're just going to roll that music right there. Johnny!
And welcome to another strategic episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country where it's really Jover. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
I fully expect you to say the podcast that's decided to step down for the good of the country.
For the good of the country. I'm putting my career aside for the good of this beautiful, beautiful nation.
Yeah, fair enough. This is not a politics podcast, but I do want to ask Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
What's the closest? Canada? How is Canada?
What's it like to be in a country that has freedom?
Yeah.
Very French. What's the
closest to a Jover situation we've had at Eurovision where like an artist had to be like, I know that like we've had national finals where someone was like, oh, I actually don't want to go. But has there ever been a situation where like someone was in and they had to replace the singer?
Oh, yeah.
At the last minute, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I mean, first thing that comes to mind happened Spain 1968.
The 68
year. Yeah, 1968. The song La 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 was originally sung by a Catalan singer named Joan Manuel Serrat, but he insisted on singing it in Catalan. The song was selected. However, this was during the Franco dictatorship.
Yes.
When minority or non-Castilian languages were being suppressed. And because he refused to switch it from Catalan to Castilian, they kicked him out and switched him with Maciel, and the song ended up winning.
With Kamala Harris, yeah.
And yeah, it could be Gretchen Whitmer. Don't you dare.
No, she's not. Already said she's not doing it.
Nah. All right. Well, speaking of swapping in, Sam, you want to hit him with the socials?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've done this. Let's see if I can remember how to do it. You can find us on all the standard social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, yada, 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 Instagram, YouTube, all those places, 12 Points USA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find some of our merchandise on Redbubble. You can support us by a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account. It's ko-fi.com. Or you can support us with a monthly contribution on Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love you either way, but our Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Exclusive content for this episode we just filmed. We took some of Johnny Logan's greatest quote-unquote hits and had a little bit of a reaction moment to them. So if you're a patron, check that out. If you're not, join us on Patreon.
Yeah, you maybe don't want to
miss we've done
stuff we found. It's Johnny Logan has had a career. Let's put it that way. What a guy Johnny Logan is. Anyone else hungry for some McDonald's or perhaps a crowd full of confused children? Anyway, let's see.
Don't forget the most blonde Norwegian young children you've ever seen in your entire life.
Mm-hmm. That looked like an outtake from Midsummer for sure. Yeah. Can you imagine if, like, Johnny Logan singing Peace of My Heart just rolls over the credits at the end of Midsummer? Anyway, we do have some Eurovision news, some actual Eurovision news now.
What?
In the sense that we almost know something about 2025. Almost.
We can see into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we knew that the long list of Swiss cities was originally about four. And we found out just this past week that it is now down to two. Zurich and Bern/Biel are out. Remaining in the running are Geneva and Basel, which I guess is good news to anybody who was planning on staying outside of Switzerland for the sake of their wallets and then commuting across the border, because both of these cities are on the border. Geneva's on the French border and Basel is on the tri-point between Switzerland, France, and Germany. So yeah, We'll find out officially sometime in August where we are actually heading, and hopefully we'll have a date by then too.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Yeah, there had been some foo-for-ah about well, apparently there is a group of, I'm going to say, dicks that are that
steam... And it's not us?
No, this is a different group. That is, yeah. It's a certain sort of political group that's just kind of against spending on things they don't like, I'm going to say.
Anti-fun.
Yeah, that is seems to have been prepared, especially for Bern. But it seems to be suggesting they're going to do it no matter where they decide. They're going to try and force a referendum on the funding for this thing. And that's, I guess, the thing you can do in when you're in Switzerland to try and... I don't know. They just don't want it to happen. They think they just thought that baby lasagna should have won. And that's where we're at. But I mean, I don't think this is going to be a problem. People generally like this thing.
We were all up in arms about that group of Latvians who were like, we don't want, you know, money to be spent on Eurovision. We'll take this to Parliament. And Parliament's like,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
I have heard your claim, and I have decided to tell you to shut up.
Heart the government.
Yeah. XOXO Switzerland / Latvia. Yeah, I think we'll be fine. But you know, we need some drama in our lives as Eurovision people. We actually don't. I think it would be great if we didn't have any, but it seems like some people just can't live without it. So that's the drama right now, is like, oh, but there might be a referendum.
No, there won't. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Instructions unclear. Kamala Harris elected to host Eurovision.
She actually don't. I don't think she'd be that bad.
With the backup for everyone.
No, she'd be bad. She's a prosecutor. She's not an MC.
So you agree that you are singing the... Okay.
She'd be a good Osterdahl.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Get some Osterdahl airport thrillers action into this contest. That'll be the interval act. They'll do scenes from one of his books.
10 Swedes Must Die. The musical!
Coming to Amazon Prime next fall.
Yeah. In other news, the annual Oh Bosnia Might Come Back part of the process is now over because they're not. I feel like every year there's always like a, well, maybe. And then, no.
Well,
not,
I
this,
mean.
This isn't the year, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Are neither, we holding out neither for North Macedonia.
Like what's North that? Macedonia?
Oh.
Are we holding out hope for anyone?
Yeah. I mean, We haven't heard anything official from anybody, but North Macedonia is taking part in Junior, we know. Mm. So it's not like they are just washing their hands of all EDU-based concourse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, concourses? Wow. This is what happens when I spend too much time in a French-speaking
airport
city.
Airport podcast.
Cool. Yeah.
But yeah, who knows? It's going to be another couple of whiles before we get the full list of countries that intend to participate.
We're not going to get Slovakia back until some mysterious billionaire decides to bankroll them for the next 20 years. That'll be
fun. And the Czechs win.
Yeah,
and the Czechs. If the Czechs win, do you think Slovakia would come back just to be like...
You know what? They didn't show up when it was in Vienna. And they didn't even need a hotel. You can just commute from Bratislava.
But the Slovakians came back for a Polish win? That might happen.
Maybe. Do you think if we were in Croatia that we might be hearing different things about like Bosnia coming back and that sort of thing?
Oh, perhaps about both of them, perhaps. Yeah. The maybe. Balkans might get together with their friends.
I mean, certainly Switzerland is a more expensive country than Croatia would be.
That too, yeah.
So, you know, a delegation does have to keep in mind, oh yeah, we have to put people up in a hotel for, you know, 12 to 14 nights at least. Plus, shipping any equipment.
What's everyone's thoughts on the, are we going to have about the same more or less contestants next year, do you think, at this stage?
I think we might lose a couple of the very unwealthy countries. I think we might lose a couple.
not some of the countries that have had a fair amount of success recently. I can't see a country like Slovenia dropping. I can't see Luxembourg dropping, you know.
No, Luxembourg's like, good again.
Luxembourg's
in. Right there, you know.
Yeah. But like,
we still have rumblings of Netherlands not coming back.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't think that that's going to happen, but they are upset, and I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we've had a few countries that were supposedly on the fence already come back in since that last ever so clear EBU statement that came out. I think Latvia is officially back, and mm-hmm. a couple of others.
Israel isn't going to drop.
They have expressed their intention to go. We'll see. We'll see.
Do we want to just do a quick run through the list of countries that have at least confirmed their intention to participate?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we okay. looking at?
Yeah. Kosovo's on that list.
Well,
they want to be there.
That's a wish list. Did we get Monaco is, kind of these rumblings there, recently? But
oh, that's yeah, right.
Monaco being in wouldn't tick people off though.
Yeah.
No. It would tick me off. I hate Monaco.
Well, then just turn the flag yeah. upside down and you support Poland. You're fine.
Yeah.
You'll say, Charles right. Leclerc knows what he did.
All right. So right now we are seeing a provisional list. At least, again, this is people or nations who have said we're interested, we want in. It's not an official list from the EBU. Albania, Austria, Belgium, which it would be the Flemish broadcaster for Belgium rather than the Walloon French-speaking broadcaster. Croatia, Cyprus, Denmark, Finland, Germany. Israel has said that they want to be in. Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Norway, Portugal, Serbia, Spain, Sweden, and Switzerland, of course. A lot of other countries are saying, you know, wait until the summer because it's Europe in summer and nobody's doing anything.
So. They're all on their government mandated 3-week vacations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to say, I'm going to say it one more time just because I love my little countries that could. Good on Malta for just keep coming back to the contest despite their friends always leaving them in the dust. I love this little country that deserves so much better than it gets, and I'm glad mm-hmm. that they come back without a second thought every time.
Malta loves Eurovision. Come hell or high water, no matter what the result is, yeah. it is a place where they get to compete on the same level, at least in theory, as any other European nation, plus Australia. It's mm-hmm. a place where...
Plus Australia, plus Israel.
Yeah.
Morocco and yeah. Jordan, Zimbabwe. Yeah.
They don't
But
compete.
It's like... Malta, I don't think I've ever won an Olympic. Have they ever won an Olympic medal?
I'm on it. Let's see.
Thank you.
they will by the end of this summer. If I have anything to say about it.
Plucky little Malta, bless their hearts. But I mean, yeah, this is a way that they get to get their name out there. I mean, I remember when Montenegro used to make all of their promotional videos, basically just tourism videos. Look how pretty mm-hmm. our country is. It's
lovely.
There's a benefit to doing Eurovision. Eric, what have you found for us?
No medals. None whatsoever. They've never had more than about 10 participants. Their contingency just isn't very big. They debuted quite a long time ago. They've been going for a good while. They debuted at the Winter Olympics in Sochi and have had exactly one Winter Olympian in each of the last few. They had a snowboarder, a female snowboarder, in 2022.
Hell yeah. So
that is their most recent. And then this year, by the time you hear this, we'll have started this up a bit. We don't have info on their participants in Paris. In the Tokyo Olympics, they had, let's see, they had a couple of swimmers, they had a weightlifter, they had a shooting-er, and a track athlete. Carla Shikluna was in the women's 100 meters and did not do very well. So
that's still Very cool.
You can do it,
Malta. I know it's going to be along the Seine, and I know it's going to be French, but when is the Parade of Nations at the Olympics going to be as fabulous as it is at Eurovision? When's it going to happen? Also, when's it going to be as short? You know?
The Eurovision Parade of Nations takes about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So if we have like 180 countries in the Olympics.
That's right. Just read them.
You basically have about 2 seconds for every country.
Just do a drone camera over everyone. You know, everyone's just like, ah, there's Michael Phelps. And then, you know.
Michael Phelps.
I want to look at the pretty Mongolian outfits.
Okay.
Have you seen
I know that this is a Eurovision podcast, but like.
Mongolian outfits.
I want one. Like, I know I couldn't and I shouldn't, but I want one. The Mongolian, they're just there for like the opening ceremony parade. But like, oh my God, these are gorgeous.
The U.S. were wearing the same sort of like Ralph Lauren polo, you know, blazer, like prep school BS that we do every damn year. But Mongolia.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's really nice.
The needlework.
I heard the Americans are going to wear jeans.
You know, anyway. Bermudans are always going to wear the shorts. Mm-hmm.
Tongans are always going to wear nothing.
No, plenty of oil. Don't forget the oil.
Yeah, but Pete is not going to be there this year. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Oh, PETA.
All right. Movie podcast.
Anyway, speaking of Olympics.
Speaking of Olympics. Yeah. Well done. Your boy, Sliman, who I learned in where were we? Malmo, that he doesn't even like basketball, so I don't know. But he's going to be doing an Olympics. He's in the pole vault,
what,
I think.
Wait, what?
No.
What?
No, he's singing his song at some sort of pre-ceremony, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. His voice will jump over the high bar and into our hearts.
I also see on Amir, so the French singer from 2016.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, that he was carrying the Olympic torch. So it's now the time of the process and the run up to the show where, you know, all the important folks, the celebrities get their, you know, 30 seconds to run or jog with the torch for a little while and have that moment, which is really very cool. So
nice.
Who's lighting the cauldron? Is it Babs?
Babs, oh, gotta be. Babs.
No, it's Valentina.
Oh.
They're going to need the world's largest ladder to make her be able to reach it. But it'll be Valentina for sure.
Who do we think will light it? Like who's a well-known French? Could it be Rudy?
Rudy Gobert? Maybe.
Both guys from Daft Punk.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, as long as they have masks, it could be anybody in there.
It could be anyone.
It could be Rudy
Macron
Gobert.
It's going to be Macron and Marine Le Pen inside of the Daft Punk.
No. wow.
All right. We're not talking about France. We're not talking about France today.
But I want to.
Having weird headcanon where like somehow Daft Punk were actually Macron and the Bishop of Urgell the entire time. Daft Punk actually are the co-princes of Andorra.
I mean, Andorra, come back.
They are to me. So yeah, we're going to talk about Johnny Logan today. As you may know, Johnny Logan was the first performer to win Eurovision twice until Laureen came and messed that up last year. And what you may not know about Johnny Logan is that he's a fraud.
I love this. I love starting in about Johnny Logan with being like, his entire career is a lie.
Yeah. Because, for starters, his name isn't Johnny Logan.
What is his name?
His name is Billy O'Filligan. No, it's not.
He had to change it. It was too ethnic.
Sean Patrick Michael Sherrod, which is pretty Irish. But here's the other
Sean
thing.
Sean Sherrod? Oh, boy.
Yeah. The I other see. Thing is, he's I not entirely see. Irish.
Well, I mean... okay. Oh, I see. He's from Belfast, not the real Ireland.
No. Well, okay. He actually is Irish.
What do we got?
He was born in Australia. His father was a singer from Derry, which I guess means British, sort of.
That's how you piss people off.
Yeah.
Oh, is that how it's done?
Yeah. Everyone is going to be so mad.
Ireland's national pastime.
For the good of the country, I'm stepping down from explaining this. I will note his father's name was Charles Alphonsus Sherard, but he went by the incredibly Irish stage name Patrick O'Hagan.
Oh my God!
Yes, he happened to be on tour in Australia when Johnny was born. So,
yeah, and then the family moved back to Ireland when little wee Sean was only about 3 years old. So,
this is like finding out that like I always think the most American man to ever perform and have an American name is Steve Miller, and I'm like, this is like finding out that Steve Miller had a very American name, but he was like, no, I have to change it. If I'm going to be successful in this country, I have to be called Steve Miller. Change his name to Patrick O'Hagan? What? Anyway. I'll drag the Irish for as long as I want. So anyway, Johnny Logan is a fraud. and that didn't stop him from winning. Can I ask, because we've watched these videos of him. He's still kicking. He's still performing. He's still doing the circuits.
He's only as
an elder pop star. But how old was he in 1980 when he won the first time?
26.
20. Okay.
And honestly, that's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because he looks 10 years younger than that.
Can we talk about this? Okay. Because, yeah, doing What's Another Year in 1980. He looks like he should be on the Partridge Family. It is unbelievable. This is, remember how we were like, I wonder if we're going too far talking about Riley from Denmark and how he literally looks like a little baby boy. Johnny Logan in 1980 looks like he's 16. Like it's nuts. I think it's the David Cassidy hair. I think it's the very late 70s styling that he has, but still it's incredible. And what's worse is that in 7 years later, when he wins again, he looks younger. He looks even younger. At the age of 33, he still looks like your little brother who's like, I don't know, in that white ensemble. He looks like he's like working as a steward on a cruise ship. It's really weird. He's ageless. He's flawless.
Until he broke the witch's curse and started aging normally again. So we could appear in McDonald's commercials.
I know. I don't want to look at the pictures of what he looked like in 1992 when he wrote the winning song. I don't want to break the illusion.
Do you think somewhere in a closet in Ireland there's a portrait of Johnny Logan? A
grotesque portrait of Flo Johnny Logan.
Looks horrible.
It's somewhere up there.
Yeah. Johnny
so
Logan.
I was thinking this was basically the main question that I had when I was thinking about, do we talk about Johnny Logan finally? One, I figured that we should because we've covered so many different topics and have not touched on this giant of the Eurovision scene in depth. But also I wanted to be like, if he won twice and then won for writing a third time, what was he tapping into? What trend was he always on? And so I tried to get a good idea of what was doing well at Eurovision in the 1980s.
You know what I think a big part of it is?
What?
The English language.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean that we have to do that. He's singing in the lingua franca of the entire continent. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or lingua angla in this case. Yeah.
I love. Yes. That's the noted lingua franca was obviously English.
yeah. So I think that helps, but also like when we think about like what wins in a Eurovision year, it's either capitalizing on a trend in a good way, or it is bucking the trend in a very good way. And the thing is, I don't think his songs ever bucked the trend.
Well, keeping in mind, I feel like songs that buck the trend do well now in a contest yes. that is voted on by the public.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, this was still entirely done by the juries.
Yes, I was going to say. So the juries always seem to reward the same kind of song. So I feel like at this point, we are getting a lot of the same. And I mean this in both mood and sort of, I'll say instrumentation. It seemed like there were two songs that were always at Eurovision. One was sort of a throwback maximalist rock and roll song. Like the 80s is full of these like really boppy kind of 1960s throwback rock and roll style songs, or they're just like really straightforward, sort of like kind of synthy, kind of tinkly solo love songs. And like these love songs really seem to be, they are what like all three of Johnny Logan's songs are. They're all these love songs, but they are way less like bubbly than the other love songs. Like I watched this person's like rundown of like their 50 favorite songs from the 1980s in Eurovision. And I branched out from there, but I was just really struck on that first go through of how many of these songs are just really positive songs about being in love. And that's it. And I love that Johnny Logan is just like, excellent. I have a love song, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cry. And it's like, that's just, it's just different enough while playing into the trend. I think that's what he did really well. I also think that it's kind of lightning in a bottle because this man photographs extremely well. We already talked about it. He looks young, but he plays the camera really well. Mm. Like there are, we have watched a lot of Eurovision performers from this era where it's just like, man, when that camera pulls back and you just see them standing on the stage, it's like, oh boy, that's would replace him with a little mannequin right now. But like Johnny Logan is always, he's always on. He always knows how to look towards the camera, but past it. Like he's not really, it's almost like the camera is not capturing him connecting with the viewer. It's capturing the story that he's telling. Really, it's very, well.
Wistful.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's every single time. I wish that people could see me right now, but he's always gazing like this, just past the camera, up and to the right, up into the heavens where his lover is, who either hates him or loves him. I don't know. But he,
one of those for sure.
It's one of those moments where it really is the performance that elevates the song.
Mm-hmm. You could tell that he came from sort of a theatrical background, that he was doing theater in Ireland. He, you know, leading roles in like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which flows into this really, really well. That sort mm-hmm. of knowing how to connect with an audience, potentially a camera, but know how to not just sing the song, but really kind of play with the characterization of it. And I thought he was really, really good at that from pretty early
on. There's a character to the song here that you don't get in the other ones, because the other ones is just like, oh, this might as well be a cabaret act, or this is two ladies singing Let This Finger, you know? Like, there's no real character there, even though that's a fun, great winning song. But it's like when Johnny Logan is singing What's Another Year, it could come off as gloopy and overly musical-ish, like overly Broadway-ish, but he's really good at creating a character that works well on camera, that works well on the Eurovision stage. And I think that in some ways that's a little bit easier to connect to than being like, this is my favorite rock star, this is my favorite pop star singing the song that they have, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, put on the radio.
You know, it's interesting to see that, like, we talk about, you know, in recent years, we kind of go from upbeat to ballad in terms of like what the public is in the mood for and what ends up winning Eurovision. Yeah. The two winners after Johnny Logan's two wins.
Yeah.
Bucks Fizz.
Yep.
Celine Dion.
And Celine Dion. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those two have nothing, are just so un Johnny Logan. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Hold Me Now into Celine Dion, I don't think is that big of a jump.
Not that's too
sort
much.
Of big anthemic ballad with an engaging singer, both wearing white, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but Johnny Logan wasn't wearing the little tutu miniskirt.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, that was Nemo.
Yeah, they were.
But I think the flow between 87 and 88 was a little bit more of a direct line.
A little bit, yeah.
80 to 81, yeah. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Also, looking back on 1980, that was a hell of a year. Both in terms of some really good stuff and also some really weird stuff.
That's the Morocco year, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the Morocco year. This is the year with Papa Penguin. this is the year with Belgium singing about Eurovision, which I normally hate, but the song is so dang charming that I can't help but love it. This was the first appearance of Joik with Norway and Sami Adnan.
Hmm.
Which later appeared in The Thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
the movie?
The prequel one.
Yep.
Movie podcast. Yep. Speaking of movie podcast, you know where Johnny Logan got his stage name?
Do tell.
Where it comes from?
So,
it's not a series of children's books, is it?
No. You may recall, since we're all in our 70s, the 1954 film Johnny Guitar.
Oh, God.
Excuse me? Oh, I have it on Blu-ray.
Do you really?
The Joan Crawford movie, no. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, the Joan Crawford movie. Yes, it's Joan Crawford. It's Mercedes McCambridge. Ernest Borgnine is in it. John Carradine is in it. But anyway.
Borgnine.
Yeah. Sterling Hayden, the male lead in this film, played the title character, Johnny Guitar, whose real name was Johnny Logan.
Sean Sherrard.
His real name was Albert Einstein. Also, I'm sorry to report that Steve Miller's real name is Steve Miller.
Oh,
and not like Hyman Rosenbaum or something. Nope, his name is actually Steve Miller.
Oh, what a shame.
I'm really sorry about that. I tried.
I wish I would be able to pull up 1987, the second year that Johnny Logan won, just to be able to grade it in terms of what I like doing with Hard Rock Hallelujah was trying to see just how similar all the songs were in relation to it. But I feel like I just kind of have to go off of the Lausanne year by proxy. And it feels like the year that Celine Dion won, the next year, it doesn't feel that uniform across the board. I mean, 1980 sure was a grab bag, but I wish we had more full shows from the 80s to see. Because you look back on the 1980s and you sort of think of it, even in Europe, as being fairly conformist in its pop structures. And part of me kind of wants to indulge in that hypothesis, since all of Johnny Logan's winning songs are cut from the same cloth, I'd say. But man, I wish I just was able to see all of them performed in a row to get a better vibe.
That special moment in the 1987 contest when you realize that one of the members of Milli Vanilli was singing backup for Germany.
Oh, wow.
That's
really?
Right.
Yeah,
like the actual voice of Milli Vanilli?
No. Rob Pilatus. I don't remember if he was Milli or Vanilli, but yeah.
He's the one who died.
I believe so, yeah.
I think they're both dead.
Are they really? Oh, man.
No, Pilatus died in 1998.
Holy crap. That's like 40 years ago.
And Fab more. Oh, God. And Fab. Fab's still around.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So only a 50% mortality rate. For being in Milli Vanilli.
It's better than
LFO.
Better than LFO.
LFO has a shockingly high mortality rate. It's really crazy, actually. Anyway, I'm looking at the 87 lineup, and I don't recognize a lot. I don't recognize many of these.
There are a couple of ones in here that I absolutely love, and then there are a few really weird ones.
Got Umberto Tozzi was that year.
Yeah, Tozzi and Roth, Gentti d'Amore, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Finland in this era. Sata Salama was great. Yugoslavia was very much doing what Yugoslavia was doing at that point, which was sort of throwback rock and roll numbers.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then you have, Shir Habat Lanim from Israel, which was basically two Israeli guys pretending that they were the Blues Brothers singing a song about how they like being lazy bums. It's actually really
There's always one at the contest, you know?
Yeah.
That just seems so on brand.
I know. And then a nil pointer, which is one of my favorites ever. So
Turkey got nil point.
Yep.
That's how you know this jury had
no taste.
Yeah. What a bloodbath.
Yeah.
I think one thing I just kind of thought of, it's interesting that this was an era where Ireland really shined, because one of the things that really struck me when we were in Ireland and we were walking around is how much the culture leans into music and how much the culture leans into storytelling.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they just not just in terms of the fact that it's in English, but his performance itself was very narrative driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is the kind of thing that, yes, a jury would really latch on to. Had there been televoting at the time, I don't know if it would have been as successful, but.
I have to wonder. I think that one of the things that the jury liked was that it is, and I can't wait to start another ethnic conflict by saying this, but both of his songs that he performed do not seem on their face Irish. He has the benefit of singing in English, but if you would have told me that this is a song that was produced by the hitmakers in London, I feel like many people would believe you. It has, I don't want to use the word generic, because this is, you know, he's one in a million, but it's so hard to be like, they're really rewarding the Irish ethnic identity with his songs, when we have, you know, when Ireland was utterly dominant in the 90s and we had Secret Garden, which is the most Irish goddamn thing you've ever heard in your entire life.
And it didn't win for Ireland.
I know, what a shit. Oh, it was Norway. That's right. It was just in Ireland. Can you believe it?
I mean, honestly, Ireland doesn't always really lean into being a hyper Irish, no. Irish, yeah, you know, in
Irish.
At Eurovision.
Except it, Junior.
That is a different. Oh, it's a different broadcaster, different kettle of fish.
Ireland, Junior, baby. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it really only dipped into being very, very Irish flavored only a small handful of times. I mean, 1972 was the only time that they've sung in Irish.
Yeah, we need more ethnically Irish things like Bambi Thaw, Leslie Roy.
Well, I was kind of bring Bambi up that it
actually, yeah.
Yeah, yes, Bambi please. Did.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I mean, he had wasn't allowed to. In 96, yeah.
It feels like while the language rule was still in place, bizarrely, it seemed like there was much less sort of foregrounding of the, you know, today, one of my favorite things of watching the last few Eurovisions is searching for that ethnic identity within these songs that play well on a continental scale. Mm-hmm. But it seems like everyone was just sort of, I don't know, playing the same game without really indulging that, like that wasn't part of the contest yet, was that idea of pulling up a very strong kind of folk identity. I don't know if it was just that this is a lot of Western Europe that we're dealing with in this era, but
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think for some countries they did. I mean, Turkey, you know, and we're using our native languages here. Mm-hmm. So I think at least some of it came from that. But when it is really primarily, you know, until the Iron Curtain fell, this was Finland and West, basically.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, and Yugoslavia just happened to sneak in there. Yeah.
Yes. Yugoslavia did. And it's easy to see how some of these kind of rose to the top. We also noted how, you know, the UK has 5 wins, and some of them are from this era as well. But they also have, is it 15 second places now?
Something like that.
Which is just an unbelievable statistic to me.
Mm-hmm.
That almost a quarter of the time, the UK has finished exactly second. That level of appeal and just songs being able to be understood is huge.
Uh-huh.
speaking of familiarity in terms of linguistics, but also looking at 1987, how much of Johnny Logan's success with Hold Me Now do you think could potentially be chalked up to the fact that he was a returning act?
Yeah.
Do you think they talked about Johnny Logan then the way we talked about Loreen in Liverpool? No, serious question.
Yeah.
Possibly.
God, I'd love to see some talking heads from this era. I have to say there's no way that couldn't have played into it. There's no way that was not there. We talk all the time about how there's returning acts that return with some varying degree of success. Even people who win, you know, come back. Lena didn't do. Lena came close, I suppose, but
she came,
you know, were people chattering about her the same way in 2011 was when she came back. Returned. Yeah,
not necessarily, because the song was so different. Yeah. And I think there were another couple of acts that were really taking up a lot of the oxygen in that room.
Was this Hunted by a Stranger? What is that?
Taken
what is,
by a Stranger.
Taken by a Stranger. Yeah. That's it.
Starring Liam Neeson.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Ooh.
Taken by a Stranger. I do remember when Alexander Rybak came back, there was...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The song was kind of silly, but I feel like that had a lot of momentum going into the contest. It won it semi pretty handily.
Yeah, it did. There's always the issue, and again, there's a lot more dialogue now and a lot more punditry and a lot more social media around, so we can see these opinions a lot more easily.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes people are a lot more critical of, are you bringing a song that is better than your last one?
Yeah.
And if it's not as good, people will excoriate. I mean, look at Iceland this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you know, just polling the four of us, which one of us preferred Hold Me Now and which one of us preferred What's Another Year? I mean, raise your hand if you prefer What's Another Year.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm the weirdo who prefers Hold Me Now.
Yeah, I'll say, I mean, they're both not bad songs. You know, I don't think it's, I think having to poll it is telling. They're if you say you like Hold Me Now, I don't hate that opinion. You know,
it feels more like a personal preference rather than,
yeah,
there's an objectively better.
Oh, he definitely didn't come back with a worse song. He didn't come back coasting on his laurels.
Not at all. And also, you know, it's interesting that Hold Me Now is the one that he wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah, because What's Another Year was not his composition.
You know, sometimes you can just perform a song better that's, you know, handed to you. You're just like, I know exactly how to deal with this. two different kinds of performance talent, you know?
Yeah.
Picture Thanos going, fine, I'll do it myself, except it's Johnny Logan holding up the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah. He's got the Europe Stone. He's unstoppable.
Little hearts.
How many, can I ask, how many times has Ireland won since the language rule was rescinded in 1999?
None.
It's zero, isn't it? Yeah.
Zero?
It is nil. Yes, since 1999, they have not won.
Yeah.
Since 1999, they've become top five.
Ooh.
This is the first. So Bambi Thug, I just double checked. When was the last time they came as good as six? It was 2000.
Ooh. It was like Millennium of Love or something like that.
Oh, yeah. God.
What a shame.
Gosh. If I asked AI to write a Eurovision song for the year 2000, Millennium of Love, you can book
Millennium that. Of Love. Yeah, that's good.
Johnny won in 87, and then they won 4 out of 5 years in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah.
92, 93, 94, didn't win 95, and then won again in 96. And then I think came in second in 97.
Yep, behind the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, I have to think there had to have been some countries that were like, you have to get rid of this rule.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm not allowed to sing this, in English just sucks. Because of historical, like.
They're going to win every time if you don't change this.
Yeah.
And, like, here's a decade's worth of evidence to that.
I mean, the year that Linda Martin won with Why Me, the top three were Ireland, the United Kingdom, and Malta.
Hey, Malta! Woo. We should bring it back.
So the three songs in English.
Yep.
A Secret Garden was in English.
No.
No.
No, Nocturne. Really. Nocturne was not. That was in Norwegian.
Oh no! I could play the violin in English.
Yeah, yeah. You have to play the violin in English. Yeah, for the 8 seconds, there are vocals in that song.
Yes, I know.
Technically yeah. Correct is still the best kind of correct.
That's right. I love also the idea of someone in like early 1995 in Norway being like, listen, an Irish song always wins, so that's what we have to send. An Irish song.
And God, did they.
And it worked.
Yep.
You know, when it comes out, whenever that plays on a playlist, I'm always like, why isn't this on that Time Life collection, Pure Moods?
Pure Moods.
It would just be fantastic.
I feel like it was.
Is it? Because it is a pure mood.
It is.
Yeah.
Just tuck that right that in between Tubular now, Bells and Orinoco Flow. Yeah. Just.
I know, yeah.
if they decided to re-release that, you think they'd call it Moods AF?
Moods AF.
No, that's what I call moods.
big moods. Oh man, Ireland. What's your favorite winner of the of that 90s stretch?
From Ireland?
Yeah. You can also choose Secret Garden. Why not?
You know, I do like Niamh Kavanagh. I think
I was gonna say it's that there's something about that look, you know.
She's just it feels so earnest without being cheesy.
That was probably gonna be my pick as well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Rock and Roll Kids.
Ooh. Also good.
The thing about Rock and Roll Kids is that it feels. I'm gonna say it. It feels too good for Eurovision.
Don't say that.
It's so good in a way where it's like whenever it comes on, I'm gonna be straight up. I watched them all before we started filming this, and I forgot it because it feels like it's a like Oscar for best song winning song. Like it feels like that is the last song in a really gloopy musical biopic, but it's really good. Like it hit it out of the park. I have no idea why that isn't near the top unanimously of a lot of Eurovision winner rankings.
Rock and Roll Kids.
Yeah. Love it. Fantastic. You heard it from me.
It is beautiful. It is really beautiful.
I know when we watched that year and that one came up, I'm like, oh, I see why they won this again.
Yeah.
Like you'd think the fatigue would have set in, but at the same time you hear it and you're just like, I mean, that's it.
That's the one.
I mean, yeah, it kind of changing it up just enough so that it's not just like Ireland again, but that you have to be like, okay, yeah, this is, yep, it's.
Well, again, it's a strong narrative song, and it's like, man, what a welcome break it would be from the onslaught of 90s pop music, and then you just get two dudes singing piano duets at each other, like
about
you know,
just
like,
a couple of mooks on stage,
just a couple of jamooks, yeah.
Just because no one... the staging of that is really effective too, the way they're singing kind of to each other more than anything, it really kind of creates that sense of nostalgia,
the Common Linnets effect.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nobody has mentioned it. I will say that I really like the voice as well.
Also beautiful, and very very Irish.
That one is very Irish, yes. Almost Nocturne levels of Irish.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think that... Yeah, so Aimer Quinn was part of the choir Anuna, which has done a lot of work over the years. She was the vocals for Riverdance at the very beginning of their run from like 94 to 96. That was all in Anuna.
The peak.
But just very... really beautiful stuff, and she's had a continued career. I think her most recent album was 2020 or 2022, but doing mostly traditional Irish choral lilty pretty stuff that kind of makes you cry a little bit in a good way.
Oh man, speaking of albums, Yes. Johnny Logan.
Yes, that's right. We're talking
about
Johnny
Logan. The reason we're all here.
Yeah, so the reason we are all here in, when was it? By the way, Danny, Johnny Logan had a single called The Lucky One. I was looking, I thought, no way, and it's not. But like...
and he did a cover, if only.
I want to show you guys the cover of an album he released in 2008 called Irishman in America. And I want you to...
It's just Boston.
Just picture this for a moment, if you will. Imagine what this might look like.
Irishmen in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here it is.
Yikes!
What's with those bangs? Jeez,
Gangs of New York had just come out, hadn't it? Jeez.
It looks like he's tearing the hat.
I was about to say.
Oh, that's a cowboy hat. That's not even like a hat. Yeah. In my head, I was like, oh, with the flags and stuff, it's a tricorn hat. Nope. Cowboy hat. You want to know how long he recorded on this album, by the way?
Sure.
Well, there are some traditional Irish ones in it because I feel like, well, he is an Irishman still. So there's that. He also did The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
What?
This Land Is Your Land. Piece of My Heart, which we watched in the
Lord did
in
we
the video segment. The Alabama song, which is a adaptation of the Kurt Weill, Bertolt Brecht something or other. He had a couple of originals. He also had a song called this is a traditional, and I'm just going to say it because it has a funny name, Waxies Dargle.
What?
Waxies.
That is my favorite CAPTCHA password.
What's a dargle? What's a dargle, and are we allowed to talk about it without getting like banned or put on a list or something?
Without getting content struck.
I don't. A waxy is like a cobbler.
Sure.
I'm not sure what a dargle is. I will. Wikipedia says that it is Waxies Dargle.
Just keep on saying it. You're just going to keep on saying it.
Yep. Waxies Dargle, Sam, is a folk song about two old ones, older ladies in Ireland, discussing how to find money to go on an excursion. So it's 80 for Brady.
Good
Waxies
to know.
Dargle, everybody.
So before we wrap up, what else has Johnny Logan been up to?
Well, he's had capital O opinions on a few notable Irish Eurovision acts. He was very supportive of Bambi Thug. There's a great video of the two of them meeting. And I will note, Johnny looks terrified.
Johnny put on the horns.
But like...
crossing himself incessantly.
They did seem to really have a mutual respect for each other, genuinely, and I appreciated that. Not so when it came to Jedward. I've got this pulled up still, so I'll just say, when they appeared on the Late Show with in 2011, Jedward appeared on the Late Show, and the host was Ryan Turbidur. Waxing dongle or whatever it was. almost got the spit take. We'll get her next time. The Johnny Logan had called them an embarrassment to Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah. Later on, Logan was asked to clarify those comments, and he said, what I said was that I find them embarrassing to watch. Thanks, well, Johnny.
That up.
Yeah. It's like watching two Frank Spencers and some mothers do have them. It's like watching a train crash. You can't look away, but at the same time, you don't want to see it.
No.
So, Johnny...
Again, I should point out, Jedward came eighth in one of their appearances, one of the highest rankings exactly. for Ireland in 25 years.
Yeah, but I'll point out the song was Lipstick. Is he wrong? Was he wrong?
I mean, the lads are, the lads are crazy, but I love
Lipstick
the pieces.
Is great. Shut up, Danny. That's weird. His Wikipedia page also notes he doesn't do a lot of interviews anymore, and I think a lot of that stemmed from this incident, where because he says like, "Oh, my words get taken out of context," but I'm like, I'm looking at the context here, and I think he's just an ass.
I had the 5 paragraphs, Johnny.
What else has he been up to? He was on the Masked Singer in Belgium a couple years ago.
Ooh.
He was a deer. And that guy, he did deer. Like the yeah. What's another deer?
What's yes! another deer? Nice.
I hate it.
Yeah. it seems to be oddly popular in Belgium. That other song we watched in the video was with a Belgian rapper that he was in. He was like the hype man for that guy. In that video. And the only connection I can find is that the year he sang "Hold Me Now" that was in Belgium. So I think they just kind of. They stuck with him. So good on you, Belgians. He was in Malmo.
He was.
He performed Euphoria very well. I wonder if that just killed him inside. It was like, we want you to sing a song from the gal that tied your record.
I think at this point he probably is. I mean, if he's not planning on singing again. I think after a certain point, you have to realize if you're not actively trying to best your record, somebody's probably going to equal or best it in the future.
Yeah, and someone's going to match your record of 2.
And he is still the winningest. Like, he still technically has 3 because of his songwriting.
Yeah.
So.
Ah, Johnny Logan. You guys want to see that album cover again? There it is.
Oh my God.
Leonardo DiCaprio is Johnny Logan in movie podcast. All right. What else? What else has he done? Did we have any other notes or was that it?
He did perform at the 2020 Eurovision Got Cancelled special that they put on.
Yeah. Yeah. Giving
ironically singing What's Another Year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not what that song is, but
well,
you know
it'd
what?
Be a little bit, it'd be a little bit awkward if he tried to sing Hold Me Now, but from 6 feet away.
I think he like opened the show with that, didn't he? And Europe Shine a Light, as it were.
Something like that.
We should do a retrospective of Europe Shine a Light. That's what we should do.
But that's another show.
Yeah.
Wait, why doesn't Johnny Logan go by J-Lo?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
It was already taken.
Or Johnny
and
from
on
the
that
block.
Note, Johnny from the block. The block being actually Australia.
Yeah.
There you go. No, they're called Bollywallies there.
God. And on that note, everybody, let us know what you think. What's your favorite Johnny Logan moment? Message us on our social media or just email us directly, 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. Yeah, we will figure out what to talk about next time. We'll probably have more news, maybe even a venue. Who knows?
Maybe.
TBD. If not next episode, probably the one after it. Mm-hmm. But until then, everybody, we'll catch you next time. I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Waxy's Dargle.
And I'm Benny!
And America.
Stop waxing the Dargle. Getting absolutely railed by the idea of Ireland.